After my heart attack, cash from ActiveCare meant I had choices.
When I had cancer, cash from ActiveCare meant I didn't need to stress so much about money.
What is ActiveCare? ActiveCare is a supplemental health insurance policy that offers protection for covered cancer, heart attack, or stroke, and a choice of cash benefit options from $10,000 to $60,000. If you're diagnosed with cancer, a heart attack, or stroke, you could end up paying thousands of dollars or more in out-of-pocket medical bills. ActiveCare gives you protection at an affordable price. So, get ActiveCare for cash, choice, and control. Active Care is brought to you by Colonial Penn Life Insurance Company and is underwritten by Washington National Insurance Company. Visit colonialpenn.com for more information. This is a limited benefit policy. This policy has limitations and exclusions. For costs and complete details of coverage, visit colonialpenn.com. Someone you know has probably experienced cancer, a heart attack, or stroke. The odds of experiencing one of these are high, which could result in bills for thousands of dollars in out-of-pocket expenses. How would you pay for it? With your savings? There is another option. It's called ActiveCare. ActiveCare is a supplemental health insurance policy that offers protection for covered cancer, heart attack, or stroke, and a choice of cash benefit options from $10,000 to $60,000. And with ActiveCare, the cash is yours to use as you see fit. ActiveCare is brought to you by Colonial Penn Life Insurance Company and is underwritten by Washington National Insurance Company. Get ActiveCare for cash, choice, and control. Visit colonialpenn.com for more information. This is a limited benefit policy. This policy has limitations and exclusions. For costs and complete details of coverage, visit colonialpenn.com.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to the Morning Report. My name is Willie Lawson. It is a gas, a pleasure to be here. Sorry we're a little tardy. We had the internet people in here this morning working on the system. We were adding some improvements to our internet system. You won't be able to hear the difference, but trust me, they're improvements. And that made us a little tardy, but we're here now. We're doing the Morning Report while it's still morning on the East Coast. I trust that you are well and that you had a restful and restorative weekend. Hopefully you got out, you did a few things, you got out with the fam, you got some, like my friend says, you got some sun on your skin meat, and you are out enjoying some good vitamin D and some ultraviolet waves to kill off any of that pesky virus. And you got a little exercise. Build up your immune system. Because that's really, you know, long term, that's really the deal, kids. Everything else is just nonsensical ridiculousness. So, the wife got some vitamin C, although they're gummies and they're mostly candy, but we got them, and I want to eat them until I get some real vitamin C. and zinc is almost impossible to find because all the real health food people have already gotten the zinc and they're taking it to protect themselves already. So this is why we may be seeing a less virulent coronavirus. Because people are starting to protect themselves in the ways that actually make sense. Not a stupid mask that has a picture of a dog's mouth on it. When we know, we see virologists, they've got a real surgical mask and a face mask and goggles and gowns and gloves. And you know what? And now we're being told that mask you buy on Amazon of the, you know, that has a dog face on it, yeah, that'll protect you as well. And worse, that it'll protect somebody else. That's really the horrible part. All right, we're going to get started today here in a little bit. We've got some things to talk about. We're going to bust this myth, and I heard about this colleague a couple days ago. A friend called me, and we had a conversation about these unidentified and unmarked federal law enforcement there. Thumping heads in Portland. Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're also going to have a little discussion, and this is an ouchy discussion, really, about how come the media is silent, absolutely silent, about Bill Clinton's involvement with Epstein and Epstein Island and Fantasy Island there? Ghislaine Maxwell's case has unlocked a lot of documents, and it is obvious, it is apparent, it is almost undeniable at this point that Bill Clinton was on the island numerous times, along with some other fairly powerful New Yorkers. So we're going to talk about that too. And we're also going to mention the woke pro sports contingent. And what a mistake I think that is. We're going to talk about that a little bit, and what a horrific mistake that is for them. I mean, not for me, but for them. All right, and so we'll get back to that in just a little bit. Thank you ever so much for showing up this morning to the Morning Report. We'll be back right after these messages. If you are a true blue conservative, small businesses are near and dear to your heart. They are the lifeblood of our life and economy. I believe this, and that's why my florist is not a website or phone number. My florist is Bloomingdale's Flower Shop, Tampa's premier flower shop. At 11618 North Florida Avenue here in Tampa, Florida, and at 6835 State Road 54 in Newport Richey. Call Christine at 813-933-1942 and at 727-232-6900. She can also be reached on the web at www.bloomingdays.com. One of the things that I get asked most is, where can I get information that is not tainted with liberal bias, especially here in the Tampa Bay area? Well, now I have the answer. DBCTampa.com, a website by and for Tampa area conservatives. Tampa's leading conservative voices speak freely at tbctampa.com. And you can too. So join the fun and enjoy the freedom at tbctampa.com. All right, welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you ever so much for spending a little time with us this morning. Let's go ahead and get started. You know, there are these, you know, these reports, and the Democrats and some of the media outlets are going bananas over it. Supposedly Trump sending out these, quote, unidentified and unmarked federal law enforcement officers to squash the, quote, mostly peaceful. I like that, mostly peaceful. Well, except for the part where they're throwing fireworks and Molotov cocktails at federal buildings. Yeah, except for that part. In Portland, Oregon, they claimed it was the final stages of fascism that had come to the United States and was meant to be a distraction from Trump's administrative handling of COVID-19. Jesus. In any case, so the unmarked federal agents arresting people in Portland explained Vox's headline stating, "Secret police force. Feds reportedly pull Portland protesters into unmarked vehicles, stirring outrage." USA Today reported, yeah. "Mysterious arrest video with unidentified police raises questions," was how CNN reported the situation. The New York Magazine put it like this: "Unidentified federal agents are detaining protesters in Portland." Okay. Here's the deal. You know, this all kicked off after a videotape showing officers arresting someone and taking them into an unmarked van. Stop. What police department in the United States, even in Sparta, Mississippi, in the heat of the night, doesn't have an unmarked vehicle? As a matter of fact, my guess is all of them. I imagine every damn one, if they've got two cars, one's marked and one's not. So having an unmarked vehicle is not a sign of friggin' anything, is it? Okay. Because of the poor camera work from the woman recording the video, and it was nighttime, it was hard to see the patches on the arm that showed what agency the officers were from. However, if you go to the fightbackmedia.com website, I will try to have these videos up, and you will see clearly the big police patch on their chest. Big ass patch spelled in English that says police on their chest. So this idea that there were these unmarked, unidentified people running around and just snatch people off the street, it's nonsense. So when you're having discussion with people today or tomorrow about such things, just send them to the website. As soon as I'm done here, I'm going to pop these videos up there and they'll be there for you to see. Fightbackmedia.com, fightbackmedia.com, fightbackmedia.com. They will be there on the front page for you to see yourself. So you can see them yourself. It's nonsense. And it's because they have nothing. During this reporter's time in Portland, he was able to see what agencies the officers were with, whether it was U.S. Marshals, Customs, Border Protection, or the Department of Homeland Security. The officers did not act without first being attacked. Now, there's actually evidence of people who were there said it wasn't this narrative that mainstream media on the left and Democrat politicians are trying to portray, that these people just got descended on Portland and just started cracking heads. Although I wouldn't be object, and the bad thing for me is that I probably wouldn't be object to that. If you're peacefully protesting, now we have to understand that peacefully protesting doesn't mean throwing rocks and bottles. That's not peaceful. That's not peaceful. Blocking traffic so people can't get by. Impeding the freedom of somebody else. Impeding the freedom of somebody else. If I'm driving down Main Street and you are locked hand in hand or laying in the street on Main Street, I just want to go down Main Street. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to get involved. I just want to go down Main Street. You laying there impeding my freedom of movement violates my First Amendment rights, and thus you are out of the realm of peaceful. So we have evidence that none of these officers from these departments, and again, these are the departments. This is not some brown shirt police force. This is U.S. Marshals, Customs and Border Protection, or the Department of Homeland Security. These are people by law that can be dispatched to protect federal property, and they were only there to protect federal property. They were not there to crack heads and deal with the wanton crime and disruption that Portland, Chicago, Seattle are experiencing. As you might remember, it wasn't the federal troops that came in to bust up Chaz. It wasn't. So there you go. So on Tuesday night, the Federal Protective Services gave at least 6 warnings to the crowd that had gathered to stop throwing projectiles and heavy-duty fireworks. Stop starting fires. There's a videotape I saw on Twitter where one of the protesters lit their own ass on fire. Dumbass. Darwinism at its best. And breaching the fences that had been put around the Hatfield Federal Courthouse. When it became clear that they would not stop and leave on their own, officers then came out to push rioters away from the fence. Officers who were tasked with putting out fires with hoses were attacked by rioters who continued to throw glass bottles and fireworks, which they then responded by firing pepper balls and throwing flashbangs. it started to become particularly dangerous for officers as some of the, quote, fireworks being thrown were not actual fireworks, but improvised explosives. They're throwing damn bombs at the officers. You got to be kidding me. This is from the U.S. Attorney in Oregon. A Portland man has been charged with arson after throwing a large explosive device at the Hatfield Federal Courthouse during a protest on July 28, 2020. Investigations by the U.S. Marshals and ATF Seattle have been filed. Wednesday saw similar action where, again, federal agents did not come out to stop rioters until they were giving at least two warnings from the Federal Protection Services. The unmarked vans made their appearances early Thursday morning, and they were used to try to arrest the rioters who were throwing projectiles by the fence. Officers were unsuccessful in apprehending anyone at that moment. Since this person was wearing a vest marked press, she didn't have any issues. So you want to know who this person is? I'll give them credit because, you know, they were there. Let me go up here. So our friend Julio Rojas from townhall.com says he was wearing his press badge and didn't have any problem at all. He was in the right place, doing what he was instructed to do. Everything was cool. You imagine? You're just trying to put out the fires with water hoses, and people are throwing bombs at you, improvised explosives. It's crazy. Rojas says, since I was wearing a blue ballistic vest marked press, I did not have any issues with the federal officers. When I was behind their line to get video from their perspective, one U.S. Marshal asked if I was taking care of myself and warned it was a dangerous place to be. Right after that conversation, a rioter threw a firework and all hell broke loose again. The officers deployed tear gas and fell back. The marked DHS vehicle I was close to was starting to get hit with projectiles. The one that was marked, Department of Homeland Security, started getting hit with projectiles, rocks, bottles, whatever. As for the officers not having their names visible, instead of having unique numbers and letters on their uniform, that is, protect them from doxing attempts, protesters in Virginia have already shown up to acting DHS Secretary Chad Wolf's home and have promised to return. So, yes, they didn't have their names out there. Would you? Would you? Who would? While it made for good headlines and tweets, the officers that had to be deployed to Portland were not, quote, secret police, end quote, or, quote, stormtroopers. They were just terrorizing women and children and puppies at 100% peaceful protests. From what I saw, officers only responded after enduring hours of attack from the crowd. Interesting. We live in this time that eventually the truth comes out. If we could just hold your powder for a second, keep your powder dry, hold your water for a second, truth comes out. So this idea of stormtroopers that you hear from the Democrat politicians on Capitol Hill, none of that crap is true. And this is why they are losing. This is the last screams, gasps, noise from a dying beast. It looks scary now. It's spitting fire, and it's spitting brimstone, and it's spitting venom. But it's dying. And it knows it's dying. And they're trying to scare. It's trying to scare you off. Stay on the neck of the beast. Do not let up. Something I put on my Facebook page. I will not back down. I will not back off, and I will not back down. I will not. This is how I fight my battles. I was fine. I wasn't bothering you. And then you came at me. And this is what you get. All right, we'll be back right after these messages. One of the things that I get asked most is where can I get information that is not tainted with liberal bias, especially here in the Tampa Bay area? Well, now I have the answer. DBCTampa.com, a website by and for Tampa area conservatives. Tampa's leading conservative voices speak freely at TBCTampa.com. And you can too. So join the fun and enjoy the freedom at TBCTampa.com. If you are a true blue conservative, small businesses are near and dear to your heart. They are the lifeblood of our life and economy. I believe this, and that's why my florist is not a website or phone number. My florist is Bloomingdale's Flower Shop, Tampa's premier flower shop. At 11618 North Florida Avenue here in Tampa, Florida, and at 6835 State Road 54 in Newport Richey. Call Christine at 813-933-1942 and at 727-232-6900. She can also be reached on the web at www.bloomingdays.com. Welcome back to The Morning Report. My name is Willie Lawson, and The Morning Report is a product and production of FightBackMedia.com, FightBackMedia.com, FightBackMedia.com. All right, this story is so awful. I mean, it's just terrible. Now, I gotta tell you, when this happened, you know, when I first saw the whole, quote, Pizzagate thing, I was like, oh, God, stop. Just stop. Because I'm like most people, I'm thinking there's no way. There's absolutely friggin' no way that any of this has really any truth. It's just, first of all, it's just too damn terrible. It's too awful. It was awful. I just like, no. And I didn't, and you know, if you follow me, you know, I didn't talk about it. I didn't mention it at all. I was hoping that it would just freaking go away. And then this dude, Epstein, gets arrested, right? And we start to find out that, yeah, this guy Epstein was like pimping out these kids to some of the elites. Which is why we were hearing, you know, all these things go together where pedophilia was not some sort of crime. It was just some sort of choice. That man-boy love was just a choice. And as long as the kids don't mind, what's the harm, right? That's the message that some of the elite in the so-called psychological world we're trying to present. We started seeing that. And I was like, yeah, what? Was this Sodom and Gomorrah? What the hell? But now it goes on. So Epstein goes to, you know, what gets arrested, gets put in a prison, and then dies under arguably bizarre circumstances. There isn't any way that, no matter what side of the aisle that you're on, that you don't think that that whole thing went down weird. That you, I mean, you can't be an adult. I'm sorry. You can't be an adult and not have questions about how that whole Epstein thing went down. That somehow he managed to hang himself while guards who were supposed to be there were watching him. And the camera that was supposed to be on him suddenly didn't work. It just doesn't add up, right? It just doesn't add up. No matter what you believe, that part of it doesn't add up. So Epstein's dead. We heard about that, you know, they had some connection to the Clintons. Epstein commits suicide. I guess he's just so wrought or overwrought with his sins that he just couldn't do it. Throws himself off the bridge. Kills himself, in his prison cell. But now it doesn't stop. Ghislaine Maxwell, who was supposed to be, who allegedly was his assistant that helped set up these encounters, not only grooming these children, but basically putting together these encounters with these children, with these men. And she knew everything, and even, as we're going to find out, may even have participated in some of these activities. And unfortunately, former President Bill Clinton is somehow involved. In an article in townhall.com by Matt Vespa, it reads, in VIP, we noted, and that's their VIP service that you can sign up for if you go to townhall.com. We noted how Bill Clinton is earning his, quote, Slick Willie moniker regarding the latest bombshell from the trove of Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell's document that unsealed last week. That being former President Bill Clinton being spotted on Epstein's infamous pedophile island. Of course, the Clinton camp denies the former president was ever there. But Maxwell has alleged that there are tapes of two prominent politicians having sex with minors. Maxwell, Epstein's alleged partner in coordinating these depraved sex acts with underage children, was recently arrested by federal authorities, denied bail, and is being held in the same federal facility as Epstein before his highly suspicious suicide. With three passports and numerous accounts with millions of dollars, she's a flight risk. She's reportedly been given paper clothes so she can't hurt herself. Interesting. Still, the former president being spotted on the island with minors, that seems like at least something to look into, right? Yeah, I mean, okay. So we know that a lot of the rest of this is... This is the awful part. We know that a lot of the rest of this is true. We know that Jeffrey Epstein had this island where there were these children on it that were pimped out for sex with people. If you had enough money and you were connected and you wanted to have sex with a 11-year-old, then you could. If you had money and you were connected. That part of this horrific, hard-to-deal-with story is absolutely true. So to find out if Bill Clinton was involved there, because Jeffrey Epstein was a Clinton ally. He was connected with some of the world's richest and most powerful families. To simply put it, there's definitely a motive regarding seeing both Epstein and Maxwell to be put 6 feet under. We're not saying that it happened to Epstein. Though, again, like I said a minute ago, the circumstances surrounding his death are amazingly irregular. Matt Vespa puts it that way. Amazingly irregular. Almost with perfect alignment of events and actions that would make way for his death. Anyways, the point is he's gone. And with these new documents, do you think that there would be at least some mention of the mainstream circuits We're not expecting much, but it's been really quiet. I mean, like German U-boats in the black pit of silence. Nothing. They are suffocating this story with a pillow, and those who report on it barely give it the light of day. It is shocking, no? It is expected from these clowns. Yes, a former president was seen dabbling in some debauched island with an indicted child sex trafficker. That seems like a problem, right? Now, how are we sure? And I'm going to take a turn from this. I'm going to take a slight detour. How are we sure that Donald Trump's not involved in any of this? Because it would be front center 24/7. CNN would open up a brand new channel that would just be talking about this day and night 24/7, 365. The videos would be leaked now. It'd be all over. There'd be a new social media app that just talked about that. There would be congressional investigations after investigations. There'd be new TV channels dedicated to it. Magazines dedicated to it. I guarantee it. If Donald Trump was involved in any way, shape, or form. A federal judge on Thursday unsealed a trove of court documents related to Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell as the latter awaits trial. In it, Virginia Guffrey, who accused Epstein and Maxwell of sexually abusing her, details incident that she witnessed on the pair... of the pair having sex with girls as young as 15 years old. But that's not all. 15 years old. Kids. But that's not all. Guffrey reveals that the unsealed interview from 2011 that former President Bill Clinton visited Epstein's private island, Little St. James Island, along with Maxwell and two young girls from New York. I remember asking Jeffrey, "What's Bill Clinton doing here?" kind of thing. And he laughed it off and said, "He owes me a favor," Jeffrey said in her interview. But this sensational story involving former President Bill Clinton, last seen eulogizing John Lewis just last week, has barely caught the attention of the legacy media. While the story has been covered dozens of times on Fox News, CNN viewers haven't heard anything about it. Unless they saw one report on 6 a.m. on Friday morning. Nothing this weekend. In MSNBC, literally not a single mention, according to TVI's. Bill Clinton's alleged trip to Pedophile Island was not mentioned once today on the Sunday shows. In fact, it hasn't been mentioned at all by ABC or CBS. To NBC's credit, it was covered on the Today Show Friday morning. What does this tell us about the Acela media? Quite a bit. As Glenn Greenwald tweeted Friday night, "I don't think there's a bigger gap between A, the importance of multi-layered and fascinating aspects of a news story, and B, the mainstream media's weirdly steadfast avoidance of it than the Jeffrey Epstein saga. The media has largely avoided this story, while the media remains intertwined with it." This is some insanity here. It was less than 10 years ago that Jeffrey Epstein was sitting down for dinner with some famous house guests. A short 18 months after he was released from jail after pleading guilty to a lesser charge of solicitation of prostitution with a minor, ABC's anchor, George Stephanopoulos, who was who? He was Bill Clinton's press secretary. Former NBC and CBS anchor Katie Couric was there former E! And Netflix host Chelsea Handler was too. Why were they there? They all said it was one and the only time they met Epstein, and they were unaware of his past. How in the world is George Stephanopoulos? He was a presidential press secretary. How does he not know who Jeffrey Epstein was? And the story about Jeffrey Epstein having to plead guilty to soliciting prostitution from a minor. Are you buying that? So on one hand, you have New York elites who intermingle with Epstein, but then we introduce former President Bill Clinton, as Drew Holden documents in his Twitter thread, and there was almost uniform silence connecting Clinton and Epstein after Thursday night. The story from every major media organization. They were talking about everybody else, and then suddenly you mentioned Bill Clinton, and it's like, no. Oh, one more thing. The FBI knew about Epstein's creepiness as well and did nothing. They knew. Despite being in contact with one of the accusers before his formal indictments on child sex trafficking charges last year, they also had a photo of Jeffrey with Prince Andrew before their 2011 interview with her. They already knew. Let me read some of these tweets real quick. In the CVRA case, Edwards starting in 2011 and Cassell starting in 2014 have represented the plaintiff in attempting to obtain joinder in the pending action. On December 30th, 2014, Cassell and Edwards filed a pleading titled Jane Doe No. 3 and Jane Doe No. 4, motion pursuant to Rule 21 for joinder in action. They want to join the case. In the CVRA case, the joinder motion. The joinder motion contained a number of allegations on behalf of Jane Doe number 3, who is actually Jeffrey that we just talked about, who saw this happen. The allegations include that Epstein also sexually trafficked then minor Jane Doe 3, her, making her available for sex to politically connected and financially powerful people. The politically connected and financially powerful people identified by Edwards and Cassell by name in the joinder motion having sexual relations with Jane Doe 3 were Prince Andrew, Duke of York, Ms. Maxwell, Giselle. So, like I said, this woman was also involved in this. Jean-Luc Brunel, and Alan Dershowitz. Yes, the teaching at Yale, Alan Dershowitz. One such powerful individual that Epstein forced then minor Jane Doe 3 to have sexual relations with was former Harvard law, not Yale, sorry, Harvard. He's a Harvard man, law professor Alan Dershowitz, a close friend of Epstein's and well-known criminal defense attorney. Epstein required Jane Doe 3 to have sexual relations with Dershowitz on numerous occasions while she was a minor, not only in Florida, but also on private planes in New York, New Mexico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. So he took a minor across state lines to prostitute them. In addition to being a participant in the abuse of Jane Doe 3 and other minors, Dershowitz was an eyewitness to the sexual abuse of many other minors by Epstein and several of Epstein's co-conspirators. Maxwell. Dershowitz would later play a significant role in negotiating the NPA on Epstein's behalf. Indeed, Dershowitz helped negotiate an agreement that provided immunity from federal prosecution in the Southern District of Florida, not only to Epstein, but to any potential conspirators of Epstein, MPA at 5. Thus, Dershowitz helped negotiate an agreement with a provision that provided protection for himself against criminal prosecution in Florida for sexually abusing Jane Doe 3. We know who she is. because of this broad immunity would have a controversial if it's disclosed. Dershowitz, along with other members of Epstein's defense team and the government, tried to keep the immunity provision secret from all of Epstein's victims and the general public, even though such secrecy violated the Criminal Victims' Rights Act. This is terrible. This is so awful. And what we're not hearing about is any of it. I don't like it because, well, it involves the abuse of children. And a lot of people are attracted to the story because of its salaciousness. I don't do salacious stories. You know, I didn't, you know, get involved in the whole Stormy Daniels thing that, okay, because it was salacious. And this is sick. Salacious. But sick. The idea that these powerful people, these well-connected, powerful, rich people in New York were able to have access to children to have sex with. And like it wasn't nothing. Like it's something you do on a Saturday night. When you want to go bowling, or you want to go abuse some kids. Should we go to the movie, or should I have sex with a 15-year-old? What are you in the mood for, honey? What the hell? And Trump is Beelzebub. Not buying it. We'll be back right after this. If you are a true blue conservative, small businesses are near and dear to your heart. They are the lifeblood of our life and economy. I believe this, and that's why my florist is not a website or phone number. My florist is Bloomingdale's Flower Shop, Tampa's premier flower shop. At 11618 North Florida Avenue here in Tampa, Florida, and at 6835 State Road 54 in Newport Richey. Call Christine at 813-933-1942 and at 727-232-6900. She can also be reached on the web at www.bloomingdays.com. One of the things that I get asked most is where can I get information that is not tainted with liberal bias, especially here in the Tampa Bay area? Well, now I have the answer. DBCTampa.com, a website by and for Tampa area conservatives. Tampa's leading conservative voices speak freely at TBCTampa.com, and you can too. So join the fun and enjoy the freedom at TBCTampa.com. All right, welcome back. Welcome back. We appreciate you being here. It is exciting. I wanted to talk a little bit about the woke sports thing. In the NBA has always been out front in their social activism. Now, I'm not so old and crotchety and set my ways to not be able to understand where the NBA is as a league. The NBA is dominated by young, in their 20s, black men. It's just, there isn't any way There's no way to deny that. Its fan base is similar. Its fan base is a lot of young black people. I mean, I understand that. But that's not its entire fan base. And what the NBA, in particular, and I'm using them as an example, has chosen to do may indeed make the workplace environment for owners, coaches, and the commissioner of the league easier and more palatable and allow them to actually sell their product. It is a short-sightedness that I believe will end up costing the league a lot. Maybe even its existence in its current form. As you probably already know, the NBA is playing in what they call the bubble. The bubble is not far from where I'm sitting now. The bubble is in Orlando in the Disney Sports complex. The idea, because of COVID-19, nobody in, nobody out. Once you're in the bubble, you're in the bubble. And if you have to go out and come back, then you have to spend 14 days in quarantine. NBA players get tested every day. Part of what you do. You get up in the morning, you get tested for COVID-19. So pretty soon, they're going to, if not already, they're going to have a really clean environment. Because it isn't just the players, it's everybody. The coaches, assistant coaches, everybody who's, quote, in the bubble will be tested for COVID-19. And after a while, after, you know, 2 months of everybody being tested, you're going to have a pretty safe environment. Now, I don't know what else they need to be tested for, you know, but as far as COVID, you should have a pretty safe environment. Because they're not playing in masks, and the people who are sitting, who get to sit in the crowd in these pretty small arenas, they're basically ballrooms that got turned into basketball courts, aren't sitting there wearing masks, and they're small enough that people aren't socially distancing either. But you've got an environment that the NBA hopes they can control. So if you haven't seen it, that's what they're doing. And what they're also doing is they're in talks. The Players Association is in talk with the leagues to allow the players to have on their jerseys, instead of their name, some bit of social activism. Maybe the name of somebody who was murdered by police. Some bit of social activism, whatever they choose. And if you actually tune into one of the games, you'll see, or one of the videotapes, you will see that Black Lives Matter is on the floor of the arena. That surrounds, it's on the sideline surrounding center court. About half court, on the near the sideline, but definitely on the floor. You can see it. It's easily read. It's not misunderstood. It's not, you know, it's, they're not trying to hide it. It's right there. The NFL, again, let's go back. The NFL with a similar demographic in player, I don't think that the same demographic in viewer, in audience is the same. I think that the NFL probably has a more diverse customer base or viewer base, and it's older. Yes, a lot of kids watch football. A lot of kids love football. A lot of black kids love football. A lot of white kids love football. But I think it's older, too. Because of the nature of the game and the how a lot of us view, you know, a lot of us view our teams and the age of the league and the number of cities it's in. I think that the product is different. There's a lot of reasons. It's marketed differently. Is in negotiations, players in negotiation with the league about doing something similar with jerseys. There will be things painted in the end zone. I think One of them is stop end racism, put an end to racism, whatever. And I think that they will be doing their social activism as well. And this is, again, including the allowing players to kneel, and not just players, but coaches and assistants and ball boys and whomever, referees even, kneeling the national anthem, wearing Black Lives Matter t-shirts in solidarity with whomever, I don't know. We've seen it in some of the openings for baseball. Baseball is being played in a similar fashion. No fans. Teams are only playing in, you know, when in their division, East playing East, West playing West, that kind of thing. To cut down on travel. And all of these things have turned into, I'm going to say they've turned into wrestling because they're basically made for TV events. Hockey. Just recently, there was a picture, a photograph of, released of, there was, I think there aren't many Black players, but hockey, all the players had been standing for the national anthems, and I say anthems that way because there are teams that are from Canada that if you go to a hockey game and you are the Tampa Bay Lightning and you play the Montreal Canadiens, there will be the playing of the national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, and there will be a playing of O Canada. It's a tradition they've had in the NHL forever, and that's how they do it. And now there's a picture that was released of one of the black players kneeling during the national anthem, and two of the other players standing, touching him in solidarity, while all the other players are standing. There you go. And what's interesting about the NHL is, you know, even dipping their toe into this water, it seems like from a marketing standpoint, a fan standpoint, is first of all not necessary and dangerous even. Because you're not going to gain any more viewers. By the nature of your sport, by the nature of how it's been marketed, by the nature of the people who play it, you're not going to gain more viewers. There isn't any reason to dip your toe into that water. And for all of them, they all seem to forget. The players, the coaches, the administrators of the league all seem to forget that they are in the entertainment business. Did you hear me? I'll say it again. I'll say it again, LeBron James. You are in the entertainment business. You're not curing cancer. You're not saving lives. You're not. You are an entertainer. Let's not forget that, kids. I'm gonna say this because I'm running out of daylight for this movie. I appreciate what it took for you to get to where you are, the level where you are, so you can provide entertainment for me at a high level. I appreciate that, and I'm not trying to diminish that in any way, shape, or form. I'm not. But it's really important that you understand where you are. I know you believe now you have a platform and you have to be socially responsible, but your job is to make me smile. It's a great job. It's one of the most important things that you do is you make me smile. And this goes for the woke pro players. This goes for all the woke actors and actresses in Hollywood. Your job is to make me smile. It's a super important thing to do. Especially now. now in particular, your job is not to make me think. Your job is to make me smile, to make me forget about my troubles for an hour or 2 hours or 4 hours, no matter how long the games are. That's what your job is. And for the most part, you do. But when you stop doing that, people will look for a release somewhere else. They will look for a release somewhere else. Their time away from the intensity of our lives. Nothing, you know, not much more gives me that dopamine release than a Buccaneer football win. I love a Buccaneer football win. I do. Makes me feel good the rest of the day. If the Bucs win at 1 o'clock on Sunday, it's a great day. It's a great Monday. If the Bucs win at 9 o'clock on Monday night game, it's a great rest of the week. It is. It makes me smile. It makes me happy. Right? Because that's their job. If I watch a Dave Chappelle special that doesn't make me laugh, I'm horrifically disappointed. And I'm off to find somewhere that makes me laugh. That makes me feel good. I'm telling you, woke athletes, woke actors, you are crapping where you eat. At some point, a lot of people will just simply start making other choices and other decisions about where they get their entertainment from. And it's ultimately going to cost not only you money, it's going to cost you your lifestyle. And all those people aren't racist. They're not. They are just people that, like I just mentioned. And I trust that you know that. I trust that you're good with it. My name is Willie Lawson. This is The Morning Report, a production of FightBackMedia.com. FightBackMedia.com. We'll be back tomorrow. Same bad time, same bad channel. If you like what we do, again, go to FightBackMedia.com and let us know. Scroll down until you find the contact me information. Let us know who you are. Give us a comment. Give us a compliment. Give us a criticism. Can't wait to hear from you. All right. Until we see you again, go out there and learn something, love somebody, and for goodness sakes, y'all take care of yourself. We will see you when we see you. Bye-bye now.
Someone you know has probably experienced cancer, a heart attack, or stroke. The odds of experiencing one of these are high, which could result in bills for thousands of dollars in out-of-pocket expenses. How would you pay for it? With your savings? There is another option. It's called Active Care. Active Care is a supplemental health insurance policy that offers protection for covered cancer, heart attack, or stroke, and a choice of cash benefit options from $10,000 to $60,000. And with Active Care, the cash is yours to use as you see fit. Active Care is brought to you by Colonial Penn Life Insurance Company and is underwritten by Washington National Insurance Company. Get Active Care for cash, choice, and control. Visit ColonialPenn.com for more information. This is a limited benefit policy. This policy has limitations and exclusions. For costs and complete details of coverage, visit ColonialPenn.com. Someone you know has probably experienced cancer, a heart attack, or stroke. The odds of experiencing one of these are high, which could result in bills for thousands of dollars in out-of-pocket expenses. How would you pay for it? With your savings? There is another option. It's called Active Care. Active Care is a supplemental health insurance policy that offers protection for covered cancer, heart attack, or stroke, and a choice of cash benefit options from $10,000 to $60,000. And with Active Care, the cash is yours to use as you see fit. Active Care is brought to you by Colonial Penn Life Insurance Company and is underwritten by Washington National Insurance Company. Get Active Care for cash, choice, and control. Visit ColonialPenn.com for more information. This is a limited benefit policy. This policy has limitations and exclusions. For costs and complete details of coverage, visit ColonialPenn.com.